Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2023. There has literally never been a better time to learn chess on YouTube. There are so many learning tools and resources. There are so many amazing video titles like The 7 Reasons You're Stuck Under 1,000, or if you don't know how to get better, click here, or 34 middle game concepts. That's all great. But you've clicked on this video, and I am going to share with you, in my opinion, and I have taught chess for over 10 years, both on YouTube and offline, I'm going to share with you the one skill that I think is by far the most important that you are missing from your toolbox that's preventing you from getting better. Now, for a lot of beginners, this skill is just moving your queen out and it gets captured. Moving a piece out, it gets captured. Your opponent moves a piece out, you fail to capture it. One movers. This video is more for the beginners at the tail end of the beginner level, and mostly for the intermediate and advanced folks. Now, if you're watching this as a beginner, don't click off. I know that sidebar looks appealing. Give me about 20 minutes of your time. I will blow your mind, because this is a skill that is important in every single game. It's the skill to get into your opponent's head. A lot of you play chess completely selfishly. You completely don't realize that there is a person sitting across from you, digitally or physically, and it's preventing you from making good decisions. To prove my point, I have selected 5 games today, and I don't want you to watch this passively. I don't want you to throw this on in the background just to listen to me talk. Be interactive with this video. I can't speak to you, but we're going to do this kind of like a conversation, all right? I've selected 5 of my recent games. This skill is so important that literally all of my recent games featured a moment that was teachable. Here's a game that I played. I was playing an international master, from, I believe that's Romania, yes. And this is the situation. You're playing black. Gotham is playing white. Your queen is under attack. You can retreat and offer a queen trade, or you can take a free pawn and threaten another free pawn. So after you take this one, you might be able to play bishop takes. The question is, what does white want? It's not about what you want. What does white want? Feel free to pause. I told you this is going to be interactive. This is going to be a unique video. Normally, I blah, 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 blah. I make some jokes. You laugh. You thumbs up the video. Whatever. What does white want? Now, a lot of you might decline this move because, I don't know, you don't want a queen trade. Queen trade, boring. Well, here's the truth, all right? Taking this looks fine. What does white want? White wants to take the knight, open up the king, and launch an attack. As you get better at chess, you're going to get into situations where you can successfully identify what the opponent wants. You see, in this game, my opponent took my pawn. Look at the eval, because I went here. I opened up my opponent's king. I immediately attacked the queen. The queen was promptly booted from the position. And now, let me ask you another question. How will white get in? How is white going to get in over here? How is it possible? Do you see a way? Might take a couple of moves. Do you see any weaknesses? Can you identify anything weak in the black position? Again, feel free to pause. Maybe there's something like this, but you can't really move the queen because then, right? So why don't you start by moving the bishop? And see, what my opponent didn't realize here is, there's no way to guard this pawn. And once I get in, it's real bad. It's real bad. Bishop takes. Bishop takes. And look at white's advantage. I managed to open up my opponent's side of the board here with an exchange of bishop for knight. And by going to gobble one of my pawns, my opponent didn't fully anticipate that an attack was coming, and a queen trade severely decreases a person's chance of attacking you. That's just the way it works. Now, okay, this might be a little boring, right? Okay, you gotta trade queens, whatever. I played this game a little bit earlier than that game, all right? My opponent just castled, and just to give you the context, I just played the move queen to b3 because it's a dopamine move. I attack his pawn, he goes here. I have a pretty pleasant advantage, right? Look, 0.7, you don't know it's 0.7 during the game, But, okay. What's the best move here for white? White to move. 0.7, you must have a big advantage. Feel free to think about it. What's the best move here for white? All right, I'm going to give you like 5 seconds. I don't, you know, maybe you're going to pause, maybe not. A lot of you, including me, might say A4, A5, A6, right? That looks supernatural. That's exactly the point. That's exactly my point. I played that move. Even I can learn from my own videos. Look at the eval fall off a cliff. How is that possible? Nobody asked themselves, what does Black want? How are we not thinking of that? How was I not thinking of that? In this position, Black wants something very simple. In fact, you should know what Black wants if you think that you need to attack. G5, G4. Who's faster? Black. Because when that pawn lands there, it's over. This position is opening up. So why does White have an advantage? Because White needs to play the move H4, which is such a tough move to play unless you go through this mental checklist. The knight is guarding the pawn from the bishop. G5 is now impossible. And the move H4 completely shuts down the attack, and then you can go do what you want. And it's very difficult for Black to make a move, because if the knight goes to B6, you can play bishop G5, you can put a knight in the center, you can play A4, A5, now you have a target. H4 is necessary. Look what happens in the game, because I don't ask myself, what does Black want? He finds G5, and he finds G4, and then he brings his rook, and then he sacrifices his rook! Look at this position. I am getting brutalized. And I went on to lose. It was a bit of a scramble. It was a blitz game. It wasn't the cleanest conversion by my opponent. But if just a few moves back, I went, what does my opponent want? I would have seen the move G5. I didn't even stop for a second and think, what's next? And after G5, like, it's over. I have nothing I can do here. If I try to save my knight, and I, you know, okay, I save my knight. Question, what does the opponent want? What does the opponent want? Okay, you save the knight. The opponent's gonna... it's gonna kill you on the h-file. I was thinking queen h5, but even rook h7 or rook h5? How do you get out? You can't. You can't get out. You get absolutely brutalized here. So, this is the thing, folks. You've gotta be able to stop and think. And I did not. I mean, I was like, oh, he castled. Oh, I'm gonna go here. And then all of a sudden, one move, it's a knock on your door, and the game's over. It's too late already. One pawn move, and I was a moment too late. If I had played the move H4, you know, it doesn't matter if he goes after my pawn. I have bishop G5. I'm stopping the attack before it can cultivate into anything. And this doesn't matter either, because I'm in. And I'm going to win a decisive amount of material, and the G-file doesn't open. But I didn't do that, and now G5 and G4. One pawn move, and the game is over. I got crushed. Because I didn't stop my opponent from playing G5, G4. This happens in every single game. Look, two examples in this game. First of all, your opponent goes queen B6. Isn't that just a free pawn? Bishop takes, right? Huh, what an idiot. Blundered that. Right? Well, hopefully, some of you are asking yourselves, what is the idea of queen B6? That is literally the purpose of this video. Queen B6, what is the threat? The threat is to attack that pawn. That's just a very clean one-move threat. You haven't castled yet. That's awfully convenient. Right? All right. Rook C8. Is there a threat? No. Well, idiot. Now I can take that, right? You gotta think a move beyond that. You can't just think, oh, I take a pawn and I attack the rook. I'm so smart. Look at me. Yeah, bishop take... And then what? What is the opponent gonna do? The opponent's not just gonna applaud you and then hang the rook. The opponent's gonna go here, and then what do you do? What do you do? You don't do anything. Because your bishop is hanging, you can't take that, and if you back out of the position, knight c4, and you lose. Because of this, and mate. Just lost the game. Out of nowhere, completely unprompted, because you just decided to take a pawn. You didn't even think for half a second about what your opponent was going to want to do, right? So, that's the way it works, folks. This is the way you have to approach the middle game. You can't just go... And by the way, this game has another plot twist. So don't go anywhere. There's many lessons. I've been teaching chess for over 10 years. I'm 27. I've been teaching chess since the end of high school, okay? I gotta get this into your heads. In this game, by the way, I didn't take the pawn on e7. In this game, I ended up blundering, all right? I blundered a little bit later. My opponent played a nice combo. And we had a position that arose a little bit later. And let me flip this, all right? You are now playing black. You're winning. What are you winning by? Let me tell you. Both sides have a bishop, both sides have a queen, both sides have a rook. The evaluation is rook for bishop. Black is up 2 points, right? It's clear that black wants something over here. What does white want? Can you answer that? What do you think white wants? Look around. I'll tell you what white wants, because I did it in the game. If white just sits around, white's going to lose. White cannot afford a queen trade and a bishop trade and a rook trade. White's going to lose the endgame because it's rook for bishop. White's going to lose. The only thing that white can do is attack black's king. How is white going to do that? Maybe push the pawn. Maybe attack on the dark squares. That is the stuff you need to identify. If you get good at identifying stuff like this, you're going to get to 2,000. Which 2,000 puts you at like 0.00001% of all chess players on the planet, and humans, by the way. I mean, it means your brain is like enormous, not like unhealthy enormous, but not like fatty brain or whatever. But so you need to be wary of that, right? So watch as my opponent retreats all the way back, completely isolating their pieces in a corner here. And what do? Well, I do exactly what I want. Now, my opponent has an option to prevent this, but they also need to prevent this. What does my opponent do? They play h5. The problem is, now there's no good way to prevent queen h6. And you can play f6, but then you've weakened this. And then queen h6 is coming, and then bishop c2 is coming. My opponent overextended their pawns, and what did I do? I got in there with my queen. I got in there with my queen. I got in there with my pawns. And my opponent succumbed to the pressure. I mean, it wasn't a perfect effort, but it was exactly what I needed. And all of a sudden, it's black desperately defending against the mate. But if we go back to this position, like around here, I mean, and my opponent couldn't take the queen because I would have taken there. Like, this position is losing for white. White hasn't developed anything. Black should have been faster, shouldn't have been that passive, all right? Now, another example I have for you, all right? I was playing white in this game. My opponent was playing black. I just played the move rook to c1. So your opponent plays rook c1. What's the first thing that goes through your head? Is there a threat? Is there anything that my opponent can do to me? Is there anything? Anything, right? Rook c1. Okay, well, they can't take my knight. They can't give me a check. You gotta look. Is there any way they can attack my queen? Yeah, like rook c5, but then I just move. Bishop c4, but that's not a pin. Right, so I could just move. So let me ask you a question. In this position, is the move b5 a good move? And I'll tell you the idea of the move b5. The idea of the move b5 is that the knight is under attack, right? So b5, where's the knight's only safe square? Knight here. And then a5. We're gonna go b5, a5. We're gonna chop down this position. There's a king over there. We're gonna win. b5, a5. Do you play this? Not a trick question. b5, a5. Looks very natural. Open up the king. Feel free to think, or just wait for me to give you the answer, because you're not actually watching this in an interactive way. My opponent played b5. And my opponent got slaughtered. What? But what about, look at the eval after a5. White is like completely lost. I mean, right? Like, if you take on a5, bishop a5, or rook a5, and knight b4, and bishop, like, how did they get slaughtered? Well, they got slaughtered because it's not a game that necessitates moving the knight. I just told you what the idea was. The idea of rook to c1 was to play here. And when you play the move b5, you completely disregard what your opponent wants. You're only looking at yourself. You're proving yourself right. B5 got played, and what did I do? I played this. Because a queen is worth more than a knight. My opponent proceeded not only to have to retreat the queen. I got another question. Is it better to retreat the queen to d6 or to d7? D6 or d7? And it only has to do with your opponent's next move. Your opponent's going to go here. So between these two squares, where would you rather have your queen? Of course you would rather have it here, because this is not a pin. But one mistake followed the other. And in the game, my opponent went here and walked directly into a pin. Not only did they walk into a pin, they then walked into a fork and they lost all of their pieces. My opponent resigned because they would have gotten to this position. And let me tell you, two rooks and two horses are going to beat a queen. So this game was all about not thinking. And this is a 2650, right? 2650, 2700 level. This game was all about missing your opponent's resources. Rook c5, walking into a pin, walking into a fork, and then I just chopped down the rest of the pieces. And that was simple, right? I simplified everything so my opponent wasn't able to make a comeback. This was all because my opponent played the move b5. They didn't have to play the move b5. They could have played bishop d6, preventing the move rook c5 entirely. And they would have had a nice advantage. And then they could have went for this plan. But they just completely didn't think at all, what is my opponent going to do, right? What does my opponent want? And the last example that I have for you comes from a game I also played yesterday. This was against the Grandmaster from Bulgaria. Yes, my vexology is strong. And this is a very weird position, right? So you're playing in the shoes of the Grandmaster. Gotham is playing with black. Now, let me ask you a question. If black is going to make progress anywhere, where is black going to make progress? Black can't really move much, right? I can't move a whole lot. Where is the only place on the board that I have any hope of moving? Not a trick question. Feel free to answer. I can't hear you, but I will give you the answer in a moment. Black cannot make any progress, like, over here. I mean, you could try. It ain't gonna work, especially if the knight moves. Only thing black can do is this. That's it. So white has an advantage. It's a complicated position for sure. What white should not do is induce the move b5. That is not what white should do, because that is exactly what I want anyway. That's the only side on the board I can make progress. Now your bishop's sort of stuck, all right? And now the computer with black even wants to push this, because the goal is not to trap the bishop. It's to paralyze white's pieces. White now has no escape. White can't move anything. And if white tries to break out, their king is there. So white is actually weakening their own position, right? And I even have a strong bishop here, which is kind of a stupid bishop. It's kind of holding my position together. And there are multiple mini lessons even in this game, okay? We're going to now flip it back to my perspective. A few moves later, I played a move that was very bad. Are my pawns intended to attack, or are they intended to disallow any progress? It's a very important question. In the game, I played a5, and my logic was, I'm going to trap the bishop because I'm so smart. But this is a really stupid move, because what is my opponent going to do in the face of me trying to trap the bishop? Pawns don't go backwards. So what is my opponent going to do? What if they do this? Now I'm in big trouble. You see, a move ago when I had that thorn there, I wasn't in big trouble. My pawns were restricting. I didn't have to do this, but I did it out of, I don't know, I didn't know what to do, right? So I went here, a4, now I can't take, why can't you take? What does your opponent want? That's a problem. C6, they're just going to take, it's very bad news. So I can't do that. And what happens if I go b4? Well, now I lose the battle. Now I allowed my opponent's knight in, and by just pushing one pawn, look how big the advantage ballooned. All right, the advantage got up to around plus five. My opponent was outplaying me the whole game. Look at me getting pushed back. All right, I am losing this battle on multiple fronts. The knight comes in. I don't think I can take on f5 because e7 check, and then he takes my queen. E7 check. You've got to think about what your opponent wants, right? So what did I do instead? I played king e7. Now, why am I lost? Why is it plus six? It's plus six because these pawns are extremely powerful, and like I said, I'm losing the battle on multiple fronts. My king is extremely weak, delicate, my pawns are weak, there are two infiltration spots, I'm probably going to lose this game, right? So, what does the opponent want? Last thing, this is the last thing, I told you, give me 20 minutes. If you're still here, you're great. If you clicked off, you suck, and you will never know I told you that. So, final moment here. What does white want with best play? What does white want? White wants to get in over here, right? Do you think white wants to get in with the queen? Or does white want to get in with a rook? Probably with a rook. So what is white's best move here? White's best move, ironically, is to go out. and threaten to infiltrate on two different sides of the board, and black is helpless. If I play something like rook b6, that's temporary. Queen d3 comes next. All right? Then maybe rook h5 comes. Let's say black plays, I don't know, d5. All right? First of all, white can even sacrifice. I am ill-equipped to stop. I just can't. I can't stop this. I'm getting brutalized out here. All right? It's a really bad spot. King f8 looks fine. Rook h8. Checkmate. So white needs to back out and make progress like this. What does black want? Black wants a queen trade. So this is a terrible move. Takes, takes, and now who do I seal out of the position? D5. And that's why I won the game. Because my opponent traded the most powerful piece against my extremely passive queen. I proceeded to seal out my opponent's bishop. I immediately took this, I stopped the pawn, and that's it. My opponent has nothing. Like that. Blink of an eye, trading the queens, just desperately trying to make forward progress. Even a queen h7 would have even been better, because at least you don't compromise your pawn structure. But it would have been even better to just take a step back, to target this, to try to get in by sacrificing, or to try to get something that looks like this, to try to get in with the rook. Now, of course, the computer finds some ridiculous king defense, but my point stands. Sometimes you need to get out to get in. And my opponent didn't do that. My opponent tried to trade queens with me. I sealed out the bishop and I managed to hold on. Folks, that's the whole video. A lot of these were sophisticated examples from my own games. All right, and I might be 2,000 points higher rated than you. And I'm not tooting my own horn. That just might be the reality. As a beginner, when you're like 4, 5, 600, you need to get comfortable positions in the opening. You need to prevent yourself from making one move mistakes. But as you get better, as you graduate from the level of, oops, I hung my queen, oops, my opponent hung their queen, or they blundered a bishop, or I blundered a fork, or whatever, I hung checkmate and won. You're going to get to this level in chess where you need to stop playing selfishly. There is a person sitting, whether it's on a phone, computer, face-to-face with you, that is also playing on the same exact board. And it would really be to your benefit to get into their head and think, what is the best plan for them? What do they want? And how do I adapt to that? Because a lot of you play selfish chess and your opponents play moves and you go, oh, I see the idea. You need to stop seeing the idea when the idea is played. You need to anticipate the idea because that really is chess. I hope this was useful. I hope this got you thinking in certain different ways. And if you'd like instructional content of this sort, let me know in the comments so I can make some more. Now get out of here.